Confidant is someone that when the cameras are not on, when you're not on social media, matter of fact, your confidant people, you might not ever talk to on social media because it's so small of a group.
Yeah.
There's three things that help me with this, right? And I think this is probably why I don't have anxiety dealing with this, is there's associates, there's constituents, and then there's confidants. So dealing with social media, you have to identify who's your associates. Associates are people that we can associate with. So like even in social media, you can see that, hey, like I like your post, you like my post. We really don't know each other, but we know each other from a social media standpoint. I could work with your brand, you work with my brand, but the relationship is just a sociable, right? But when you have a constituent, it's somebody that you're social media friends with, and then we may go out to dinner in LA. We may see each other. You don't come to my house. I don't go to yours. No. I don't tell you my secrets.
Right.
But like we share business ideas.
Yep.
And then you have a confidant.
Yeah.
Confidant is someone that when the cameras are not on, when you're not on social media, matter of fact, your confidant people, you might not ever talk to on social media because it's so small of a group.
Yeah.
I think those three things of helping young people identify in their life could really help them dealing with anxiety.
I think
when it comes to social media,
I think it's really good because you put it into like the different words than I've used before, but it's, you have a group of small friends, and the older you get, you realize the less friends you actually have than you thought you had, right? Because you see who shows up, who's there in the hard times. You have such a small group of friends that when you're younger, you think, oh, I have all these friends because you're going out a lot. No, let's go out, let's go out. No, I think what you'd call your
associate.
You're going out, but you're not really sitting there telling them like your dark secrets or your like what's like, oh, I'm in pain today, or they're kind of around.
Yes.
You think they're your friends. And at a young age, you call them your friends. You know how many people I'm like, this is like my closest friend.
Yeah.
You know, and you realize who's around. Who's around for the good times, who's around for the bad times. You know, and it's interesting because I hear it flips all the time. Sometimes I hear people say, you could tell your true friends are during the highest success, or you could tell your truest friends are during your lowest of lows. And I think both are true, because your truest friends and your highest success are the ones who are going to be like, listen, just because you're super successful doesn't mean you aren't fucking up.
Right. I mean, that's.
And the person who actually can look at you and say, I don't care that everybody else is kissing your ass and telling you how great you are. Because when you're successful, that's what everybody does, right? Like, it's the person who can say, you're being an asshole. You know,
and I'm not gonna deal with that.
Yeah, and then also, it's when you're at your lowest low, and they have nothing to gain from you, and they show up just to sit with you and say, like, you know what, I'm just here. We don't have to do anything. Just let's just sit and chill.
That's a confidant. The constituents are the trickiest. So, like, remember you were saying early on social media where they were talking about unfollowing and following. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah,
a constituent is someone that you could be following, you could do business together, maybe you share a group of people in a network together, and then that person crosses you.
Yeah.
And you were like, kind of on the border, like, are they my confidant? Are they a constituent? But constituents are in the middle.
Yeah.
So you have to identify
the constituent. You have to put them into a category.
You have to make sure, because this keeps you from being hurt. It keeps you from feeling very anxious about who you can trust and who you can't trust.
Well, so I realized a few things, right? One thing that I realized it's funny about the anxiety is like half my anxiety, like I said, is one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm. You know,
get out of bed, get in the shower, get your clothes on, put your foot forward, put your next foot forward, right? But once you go out wherever it is you're supposed to be going that you're anxious about, like you're generally, if you open the door, like you said, figure out what you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Walk onto the court. And whether it's the basketball court of the court or the court of life.
The court of life.
Just walk out on the court, even if you're walking out alone with a ball. And again, totally analogy for life. But if you walk out on the court with the ball and you just start shooting, you don't have to be good.
Right.
Something's going to happen. Something is going to happen. You're going to see someone. You're going to meet someone. You're going to have someone say, hey, let me help you with your shot. Maybe your shot's great. And they're going to say, hey, that's a great shot. You know, or maybe they're just going to say, yeah, I'm out here shooting too. You want to go grab a bite?
And yeah.
Meet someone interesting.
Anything, yeah.
And, you know, in the court of life, that's what I've learned, which is just getting up, you know, going to that place that I didn't want to go because I'm got anxiety about it or whatever. 7 out of 10 times, I'm like, look what just happened there. You know, I met a person who I needed to meet that, again, it might not be a confidant. It might not be, you know, a constituent, but it's transactional maybe. But it's someone I needed to meet to get something done that gets to the next level. And you know what? I feel great about it. And it's okay because there's 90% of life is transactional, right? Like, I think I have 7 friends that I could say are like my true confidants, right? And every year, you know, you realize like maybe I have 6, you know, I don't know. Cause you
it's
know,
a question.
But it's okay that you have a lot of transactional people in your life. If you recognize both sides recognize it's transactional, right?
Right.
I'm doing business with them. They don't have to be my best friend.
That's your constituents.
Right.
Yes. And, that's good.
And what happens is you say, you know, it used to be like, oh, well, if you're spending a lot of time with someone in business, I used to feel like they have to be my best friend.
Right.
Oh, this is my dear friend because I'm spending every day with them in business. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. It's like, look, it can be. Sometimes it is. But other times it's like, look, we do good business together. And, you know, we're very good in business. We're business associates. And if you start breaking into those boxes, right, and you just put your life in those perspectives, and you also, when I say put in the boxes, create boundaries. That was the other thing that helps me is like, I like to be home for dinner. So I realized I had, in my line of business, dinners were a big deal. Like in the movie business, everybody wants to go have dinner. They want to go to Nobu, you know, Malibu or Mastro's or whatever. And, you know, it's a big thing is go have dinner. I used to have 3 dinners a night.
Yeah.
You know, because whether it was another studio head or it was an actor or it was a director. And when I went, do I have to go to dinner? In my head, I don't actually like going to dinner. I like to be home for dinner. I'm a homebody. I stopped going to, I mean, it's not that I won't, but I stopped going to business dinners.
The business dinners is, that's what.
I was like, I'm going to go to dinner if I actually want to spend time with that person as a person, not because I feel like I have to go to a business dinner with them. Because I can get to know them in business by sitting in a meeting with them and even having a lunch. Like if they want to know a little more about me or I want a little more about them in business because we're doing business, we can go have lunch. But like dinner's for my family or my friends. And when I drew that boundary, I was like, didn't change anything in business for me.
So setting boundaries is very critical to helping with anxiety.
It's so important because if you can structure your life, you know, like you said, so you have...
No, I think this is good because...
You have 3 types of people.
Yeah.
It's okay to have transactional people. I think a lot of people think, well, that's bad. It's like, well, why is it bad to have transactional people?
No, you got transactional people. And you can associate with them. You can do business. It's trustworthy business. But what happens is your level of trust for someone like that and a confidant is so different that your expectations change and you don't hold them accountable for being a confidant. So now you can have a long-term business relationship with them because a confidant, you're like, I trusted you. And you put a lot into it. And so that's where I feel like disconnects come in at. But when I'm just, if we're just transactional and we address it in maybe a contract, maybe we address it in terms and we become very good at it. So when we're done, it's like, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. I got to go dinner with my kids. It's like, yeah, there's no expectation. I think those are some of the best business relationships because it takes the anxiety off of having to go sit through, you know, X amount of dinners a night and things like that.
And that's, it's important. And people think, you know, so it's funny because I do business now with a lot of people and I less and less too. But part of it is like, I do business with who I want to do business with, but some people might not have that luxury yet.
Right.
So as long as you look at it as a transaction and both sides look at it as a transaction, it's okay. Like you don't have to feel bad about it. Like you don't have to Like, I don't like doing business with people I don't like, and I don't encourage people doing that unless they have to. But you don't have to make them your best friend. Like, the people that hurt me the most in my life were people who I did business with that I also made my best friends and, right, like, took in my life as if they were my brothers and treated them and felt like they were my brothers. And I didn't realize for them it was totally transactional.
Right.
For me, I gave them everything I had.
Dude, that's how,
you know,
Drake has the best verse out. I don't know which song it is. I wish I know the verse though. And he starts the song off like this. He said, "I wish I knew what people wanted from me in the first 5 minutes of meeting them." He was saying, in the next verse, he was saying, this will help him out. Because if he knew what you wanted from him,
he'd know where to put you in
the
box. He'd
know exactly where. He said it in the first verse of this song. And I don't know if it, I can't, I got to look up
the song. I don't know the song, but that's a great.
I'm going to play you the song.
Yeah, no, that's a great, great.
Like, I'm going to actually find it while we were sitting here. But it's, and I knew it because when he said it, it just jumped because I have so many people that reach out to me in so many forms, whether it's through an app, whether it's through email, whether it's indirectly through an agency.
Yeah.
And the first thing I always want to do is I want to be like, I wonder what they want. Because if they actually told me what they want, I want to help them.
Right.
But if I'm on the phone with you for 40 minutes, I get anxiety because I was like,
when's it going to come out?
I'm like, and when he said it, it was just like, to me, it was so like me. And I was like, yo, Drake is, he was so smart with it. He was so genius because it made sense. I'm going to find it in 2 seconds. And,
you know, it's,
I know what it is.
What is it?
7 a.m. on the bridal path. It's on a certified lover boy. I know we can't play it because I don't, we don't want to play.
No,
oh, we don't want to play it because we don't want to pay Drake.
Sorry, we love you, Drake, but Drake, we can't afford you.
We can't afford you. But I'm going to play it after the show.
Yeah, for sure. I know the song.
It's so good.
You
and
know,
he says it in the first beginning.
So, you know, it's you good. Know what? It was funny because I remember when, so for me, like I had a couple early on when I was like in my 20s where let's call it, whether it was a famous producer or a famous actor or whatever. And we'd be doing business and we became what I thought was incredibly good friends. My biggest one was two business people who I literally let live in my house, give them my car, like gave them my life. I took, when I met them, they had nothing. But when we were done, they were making $30 million a year. And spent the last 2 years as they were signing the ketubah at my wedding, like planning out how to steal my company. That was what the studio I had where I had to put it into a chapter 11 because they were planning it as a hostile takeover. While they were literally, they were signing the ketubah, which is you ask, you know, I should have asked my brother, right, and I didn't, you know, as them.
And, oh, that's dirty.
Yeah. You know, and like, it was bad, but I've seen it. I've gone through it. I've gone through it with some of the most famous actors where I was like, that was my like closest friend. And like the smallest thing ended up ending the relationship. Like they got pissed that I didn't cast them in a movie. And I'm like, but bro, like, it's not me. There's 50 people in it. And like, I thought it was your best friend. I'm like, yeah, but you know, and that could end a relationship, but
I can't end a relationship,
but I
quickly,
but that's not, they weren't my best friend then. Right.
Right.
But the interesting thing is I just watched it happen to someone who is a dear friend of mine, who I do business with. And he orchestrated a deal we were involved in. I don't gonna say who or what or where, but like some pretty famous people, and they brought him into a circle. And I watched it going down. I predicted it because I saw it where he'd never been in the fame. He'd never like been treated in like he wasn't in like the, you know, this was more in the music world than in the movie world. And he was all of a sudden around like the biggest names, mm-hmm, and 24/7, and he got lured in, and these were his best friends. He would tell them, like, he was with them all the time. And I mean, I watched it going down. It was very transactional for them, and it was very lucrative for them. And the moment that it wasn't as lucrative for them, but they were able to make it more lucrative by fucking him over, they did. And they didn't have to, but because he kind of trusted them and he thought they were his best friends, he might not have done the contract perfectly. He, you know, kind of let it be a little easier. They weren't going to fuck him.
Right.
And I was like, in my head, I'm like, just waiting. I was just waiting for it to come because I've seen it. And you can't tell someone, dude, I know you want to believe these guys are your best friends, but they're not. They're here because you wrote them a big check and they think there's more. And when there's not more, if there's a better way for them to make money by screwing you over, they will. And it happened. And I watched it and he was heartbroken.
Right.
And he's my age. Like, he's in his 40s, but he just had never been in that before. And all of a sudden it was so exciting. And, you know, I you can't tell that person.
No, it's tough.
No.
That's
and tough. I mean, I saw that. That was,
yeah, you can
you
see
know,
it.
It was so bad. That I actually had anxiety over it because I knew it was coming. And I had anxiety for him, you know.
That's the experience, though. You know, like, I'm sitting here thinking about the last time that I dealt with anxiety. And you're going to laugh, but I'm claustrophobic.
Really?
Like, didn't even know it, right? The first experience that I ever experienced was when I was going to get my MRI done.
Just say MRI, yeah.
And they went to put me, I'm sitting there and the thing was green and I stopped them.
Yeah, you press the button, get me out, get me out.
Let me out right now. I want out. I don't know why I feel like this.
Yeah.
You got to put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're like, giving you like value. Like,
I was like, yo, like, literally, you got to put me to sleep because I don't know what I'm feeling right now.
You're feeling trapped. So you're
you
feeling,
felt very trapped.
Felt like you're buried underground.
I'm a free spirit. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I felt this. I was about to get on this ride. And they put the thing over me.
Oh, the harness? Yeah.
Yes. And I was in Dubai.
Oh, I know.
And
yeah.
We were at this called Ferrari World. And this is really recent.
Yeah.
Right?
I was just there. Yeah.
And the thing went boom. And I was like, I looked.
Get me the fuck out of here.
And I was everything in my brain, but I did. I quieted. I really got just real still for a second. And I tried to control my breath. And all of a sudden, it was like, boom, it was gone. And we were about to take off, and it was over, but I felt something.
That's anxiety.
That's anxiety.
But so imagine if you have that for 15 hours in a row, and it won't go away.
I can't imagine that.
So that's what people who have, like, severe anxiety.
It's really extreme.
How about days at a time?
Yeah.
And so what I learned was the surest way to keep it is to not change anything.